As we read our Bible, we can read the stories. We've heard the stories in children's church. I've heard them since I was born. So they can be so familiar. And we can get used to hearing them and say, yeah, I know that. Jesus healed a man with leprosy. Or yeah, Jesus gave them so many fish that their nets broke. And we can hear these stories. We can know that they're coming. You can be reading ahead in your Bible right now what we're about to talk about. And you can know what's coming. But it's been so interesting to me to be able to just dedicate a whole bunch of time to looking at four verses and getting to just pull out all these facts and all these details. And I love seeing the way that Jesus interacted with people, the way that Jesus reacted to different situations, the way that Jesus loved, the way that he cared, the way that he challenged, the way that he corrected, and the way that he invested himself personally in the lives of people. I've enjoyed studying and examining these familiar stories. And I hope they're not so familiar where you're like, oh, I can take a little nap now. He's talking about when Jesus healed a man from leprosy. I hope that you will enjoy this and that you can place yourself in these stories and that you can allow these stories to come to life. And you can recognize God leaving heaven, coming to this earth as the man God, 100% man, 100% God, dwelling among sinners, dying on the cross, shedding his blood, and raising again, offering us peace with God the Father. We get to look at his life. We get to see the details that he lived. And I hope it never gets old. And I was telling the guys this morning in our meeting, I feel like I say this every single week, like, it's familiar, so pay attention. Honestly, we get to look for the next 25, 30 minutes at a real life story that took place in the life of Jesus, God in the flesh. This morning, we're going to look at Jesus and his dealings with a man with leprosy. We'll see his power on display, but I would like for us to recognize this morning his compassion, his genuine compassion. Jesus displays some incredible compassion, and I don't want us to miss it this morning. Our story today is in multiple passages. It's in Matthew, it's in Mark, and it's in Luke. And it's only a few verses long, so let's go ahead and look at all those passages together. Let's start in Matthew chapter 8. And we'll go back to Luke for our main study today. But Matthew chapter 8, verses 2 through 4. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper, and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, See thou, tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. Now turn over to Mark. Mark chapter 1. And look at verses 40 through 45. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand, and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away. And saith unto him, See thou, say nothing to any man, but go thy way. Show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. But he went out and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. Now to Luke chapter 5, verses 12 through 16. And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus, fell on his face, and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand, and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing, according as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him. And great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. So you can see all these three different accounts from these three different men. You can see how they fit together, but also you can see how each human author records a little extra detail. And we read all three passages so you can put all the details together and you can have this complete story, and we can see certain details and certain things, specifics about this story. So let's pray together and then we'll get right into our study this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your great name. I thank you for the way that you love us, for the way that you care about us. I thank you that we can be here together today, that we can sing praises to you. Thank you for all that you are and all that you do. I pray that you will give us understanding as we study. Please help me to say the right things. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So last week, if you were here, if you remember our study, we looked at Jesus calling some disciples. And there was a big miracle where he told Peter to go out and cast out his nets. Peter goes out, throws down the net, has such a great harvest of fish that the net starts to break. The end result we see is that Peter, James, and John follow Jesus. They forsake all and they follow him. They see his power on display, they recognize who he is, and they follow him. This week, a man that gets it all then fails to obey Jesus. So last week we saw some guys that decided to forsake all and follow Jesus. This week we see a man that gets it all, gets healed, but he fails to obey Jesus. It's a pretty big contrast between our story from last week and this week. Jesus, knowing what this man would do, was still moved with compassion. And I want you to keep that in mind as we study this passage, where Jesus knew how this whole story was going to play out because he's all-knowing God. Yet he still chose to heal this man and to cleanse this man. And we see that he was willing to be compassionate, knowing exactly that the man would disobey him. Just keep that in your mind. Look at verse 12. And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. So after an undisclosed amount of time, from the study we looked at last week, in an undisclosed city, there's no specifics given there, Jesus was ministering, however, in the region of Galilee. We can put that together, that he was in Galilee. Many believe this happened in Capernaum. We've heard about that city. We know about that city. Capernaum was up to the northwest of the Sea of Galilee, right on the shore there. But just a thought, that might be where this happened. Jesus is there in that unnamed city. He is approached by a man with leprosy. You say, okay, he's approached by a man with leprosy. Big deal. It is a big deal. Because people with confirmed leprosy were supposed to stay away from people that didn't have leprosy. You're not supposed to go up to people. You're not supposed to get close to people. You can look back at Leviticus chapter 13 and chapter 14, and you can read all about leprosy, the different symptoms of leprosy. You can read all about that. You get a lot more insight to this story. We're not going to read it together this morning. But the big picture is that if you have leprosy, you're supposed to stay away from people that don't have leprosy. And you see what this man did? He approaches Jesus. That's no, not supposed to do that. He had leprosy. consider what leprosy was and what leprosy is. Because we can say, yeah, yeah, leprosy, not good, bad skin disease. Also consider, this man didn't just have leprosy. He was full of leprosy. And Luke is careful to relay that message to us. Full means covered over. So when you think of a man with leprosy, with lots of leprosy, this guy is consumed with leprosy. Leprosy, we call it today Hansen's disease. It's caused by the bacterium, Mycobacterium leprae. Who knew that? I didn't until I read it. It could spread by touch or by breathing on someone. So you can see why they were supposed to stay away. Many of us have at least a general understanding of what leprosy is. We could probably say it's bad, messes with your skin, I don't want leprosy. Some of you might know more than me about leprosy. I read more about leprosy this week than I ever thought I would. Overwhelmed with what I read about leprosy. I know I don't want that. It's not good. In biblical times, in the biblical days, it was one of the most, if not the most dreaded disease a person could get. It was basically a death sentence. A life in seclusion, except you'd hang out with other lepers. But, I mean, it's a death sentence, painful death sentence. I want to read you what one commentator said. He says, it was a disease at all times terrible. It began with little specks on the eyelids and on the palms of the hand, and gradually spread over different parts of the body, bleaching the hair white wherever it showed itself, crusting the affected parts with shiny scales, and causing swellings and sores. From the skin, it slowly ate its way through the tissues to the bones and joints, and even to the marrow, rotting the whole body. The lungs, the organs of speech and hearing, the eyes were attacked in turn, till at last consumption or dropsy brought welcome death. Kind of graphic, right? It's bad news. And did you catch that? What it brought was welcome death. Like, death is the best part of the disease of leprosy, is how bad it's described as. The dread of infection kept men aloof from the sufferer, and the law prescribed him as above all men unclean. The disease was hereditary to the fourth generation. No one thus afflicted could remain in a walled town, though he might live in a village. There were different varieties of leprosy, but all were dreaded as the saddest calamity of life. The leper was required to rend his outer garment, to go bareheaded, and cover his mouth so as to hide his beard, as was done in lamentation for the dead. He had further to warn passers by away from him by the cry of unclean, unclean, not without the thought that the sound would call forth a prayer for the sufferer, and else from the fear of infection than to prevent contact with one thus visited by God and unclean. He could not speak to anyone or receive or return a salutation. Bad, bad disease. Just a little more information on this, to put it in perspective. He had to stay 6 feet away from other people at a minimum. And if the wind was at his back, he had to stay 100 feet away from anybody so that the wind didn't blow the disease to others. I just want us to see how awful and how feared and how dreadful this disease was to have. If the man with leprosy went into a building, or anybody with leprosy went into a building, the place was considered unclean. I know we're getting details here, but one of the results of leprosy, oftentimes the nose would cave in to their face, and then start losing extremities, fingers and toes, and some people say that you don't lose the fingers and toes necessarily from eating your body, but it goes numb, and then, you drop a rock on it and it falls off. You can't feel it. How you can feel a nerve when you touch something hot? They would lose that ability. So you could imagine these people, the physical affliction that they'd have on their bodies. Chunks of their face would be missing. I just want us to understand how bad this leprosy was, because this man was full of leprosy. So you have the physical side of it. Nasty stuff. But also, terrible social aspect. Nobody can be around you. Those with leprosy were dying a painful, humiliating, lonely death. This is bad news. You can see why it's so dreaded. We can get an idea that this was a terrible disease. Now, with that information we have, let's take that and put this into real life. Because we're talking about a real man, we're talking about a true story. A man that actually had this disease, and he's in late stages of this disease. It's consuming his body. Imagine how real, how terrible that must have been. This man was hurting. This man was miserable. This man was honestly hopeless. He's just hoping he can die, is how bad it was. But he heard about Jesus, and that hope factor changes. Now he has some hope. I imagine this man, he starts hearing about Jesus, the miracles he's doing, and I imagine him frantically searching all over Galilee, trying to track down this man that offered hope. I mean, wouldn't you? You hear about Jesus, you hear that he can do miracles? Wouldn't you be trying to find Jesus? You're dying a slow, painful death. So I imagine him looking for Jesus. As he would search, he would hear more stories of what Jesus had done. And his confidence would grow, and it would build. And I picture him dreaming about the day that he could meet Jesus, and Jesus could heal him. Look at verse 12 again. And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who, seeing Jesus, fell on his face, and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. The day finally comes. This man with leprosy finds Jesus. I imagine him running to Jesus and then falling on his face. Matthew 8:2 tells us that he worshipped him. We get the idea that this man finds Jesus, knows where Jesus is, runs up to him, falls on his face. He understood who he was kneeling before. He calls him Lord. He understood what Jesus could do for him. His only hope, this man's only hope, was standing in front of him. He's riddled with leprosy. He's laying on the ground, begging Jesus, worshiping Jesus, talking to Jesus. The word besought is used. That means to beg or to make a request. How urgent do you think this man was? I mean, think how urgent he would be. I mean, he's given everything he has, laying on the ground, talking with Jesus, begging Jesus. All three accounts of this story give the specific statement, if you will, you can. This man has some faith. Luke says, Lord, if you will, you can. The man recognized some authority in Jesus. He calls him Lord. He had full faith in his ability to heal him and to make him clean. He says, I believe you have the power and the authority. I believe you can do it. And think about the faith that's here. Because we can see this man believed. But leprosy isn't just something that goes away. Typically, you die from it. I mean, now we have medicine for it. But back then, death sentence. So this man has huge faith, understanding that, hey, if you will, I believe that you can, Jesus. Please, please heal me. I know you can heal me. Please do it. Please make me clean. Think about this. We talked about how disgusting this man would have been, just riddled with this leprosy. We talk about that he wasn't supposed to go near anybody. But what do we have him doing? Approaching Jesus. It was culturally inappropriate for this man to approach Jesus. He was ceremonially unclean. He shouldn't be doing this. But he was desperate. He needed healing. Honestly, it was selfish for this man to approach Jesus. Have you thought about that? contagious stuff. He's just running right up to Jesus, possibly exposing Jesus to this leprosy. So you see a little bit of selfishness there, possibly. He was sick and contagious, but he didn't care what he was supposed to do. He went for it. He went to Jesus. Jesus was his only hope. And what does he say? Please make me clean. I want to have a normal life again. I want to be healed from this pain. Please heal me. Remember, this man was full of leprosy. It would have been very obvious that he was sick. It would have been very visually obvious. Besides Jesus being all-knowing and knowing that this man had leprosy, when he sees this man covered in leprosy on the ground, it's pretty obviously there's something wrong with this guy. He's got leprosy. Pretty obvious. He approaches Jesus. What would Jesus do? We don't have any record of Jesus seeing him coming and Jesus heading the other way. We don't have that. We have Jesus interacting with this man. What would you have done if someone with leprosy would have ran up to you and said, hey, can you help me out? I would have been running the other way. I'll tell you that right now. But think about just at work when someone has a cold or the flu. I mean, you're trying to keep that 6-foot perimeter at all times, right? I mean, you're trying to stay away. It's one thing if they're family. It's one thing to take care of your kids when they're doing nasty stuff. But this man isn't related to Jesus. He's a stranger. He's running up to him with this highly contagious disease, falling at his feet. I mean, you know how we respond when someone's sick? We're out of there. But not Jesus. Look what Jesus does. Verse 13. So Jesus isn't backing away. What does he do? And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. Jesus touched this man with leprosy. That's one of the ways that you got this disease, is by touching someone with it. Jesus touches this man. Mark 1:41 says, and Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him. Mark tells us that he was compassionate. And that's why I went through all those crazy, deep, nasty details about how bad this leprosy was. Because I want us to see the picture here of the compassion of Jesus. Well, when this man with leprosy would come up to him, he wouldn't say, get away, he wouldn't run away. He would be moved with compassion, and he would actually reach down and touch this man. And we're talking about God in the flesh. Being moved with compassion, humbling himself, and touching this man with leprosy that nobody else would want anything to do with. Jesus was willing to touch him. Do you see the compassion there? When everyone else is saying, get away, Jesus says, come here, I love you, and I care about you. He reaches down, he bends down, and he touches this sick, contagious man. And what's his response? The man had faith. If you will, you can heal me. Jesus says, I will. Be thou clean. He could not be ceremonially clean as long as he had leprosy. So something had to happen with the leprosy. Jesus says, be clean. So something had to happen with his leprosy to go away, because as long as you have the signs of leprosy, you're not considered clean. So I want us to think about that, because the verse goes on to say, immediately the leprosy departed from him. He was instantly healed from leprosy. That's not how it works. That's not the way you get better from leprosy. It's not instantaneous. It's not like you take a magic pill and you're better. Even today, it takes time for this stuff to get healed. But we see Jesus, you're clean, be clean. What happens? Immediately, the leprosy leaves him. That's power. Pastor Matt was talking about the power of Jesus to speak and to create. Well, he tells this man he's clean, the leprosy's out of there. It's gone. Just like we looked at the demon leaving the man because Jesus told them to. Leprosy, same thing, gone. I imagine in my mind this man was fully restored. Full restoration. I don't know, you know, what extent of fingers he'd lost or blemishes. I don't know. But in my mind, I picture Jesus saying, be clean, and him being fully restored. I mean, maybe fingers are, you know, growing back on. I don't know how it happened. But I know that if that's what God said, and if God wants him to be restored, God has the power to do that. He's big enough, and he's great enough. The record that we have is that he was healed, the leprosy was gone. I don't know, that's my opinion. You can have your own opinion how fully he was restored. But keep in mind, he was restored enough that people would listen to him and they would start flocking to Jesus, as we saw at the end of the chapter when we read through. Something was different about this man. He was healed because now he's approaching people and people aren't going to run away from him. They're actually going to start flocking to Jesus and trying to get to Jesus. We can see the compassion. We can see the power of Jesus. Jesus just changed this man's life. Now he's going to give this man some instruction. Look at verse 14. When he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing according as Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. So the word used is charged. We understand it's command. Jesus gave this man a command. What is he telling him to do? Don't tell anybody. Go show yourself to the priest. Do what you're supposed to do so that you can be cleansed. Don't tell anyone. Just get to the priest. Do what you need to do to be ceremonially clean. Leviticus 14, if you want to look at that later, lays out all the details and requirements for someone that was healed of leprosy, what they had to do to be considered clean. What it was an 8-day process where someone would go to the priest, and this man specifically would have to shave, he would have to bathe, he'd have to wash his clothes, he would have to make multiple animal sacrifices and give an offering of grain and oil. That's what he was supposed to do, go to the priest, do all that stuff. If he would do this, it would be an incredible witness to the priest. Did you see that? The end of verse 14 where he says, offer for thy cleansing according as Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. If he would actually do this and actually go to the priest, he could minister to them and be a testimony to them of the fact that what Jesus just did and the fact that he is truly God. He could display or tell them the evidences of the fact that Jesus is deity. They would see the power and authority of Christ. They would see evidence of his deity. This man had an opportunity to declare Christ to the priest. After what Jesus had just done for him, you would think he would have been thrilled to obey. At least in my mind. If I'm dying with leprosy, and I'm laying on the ground begging someone to heal me, and they actually do it, if they give me some instruction, it makes sense that I'm going to do what they just told me to do. Yeah, I want to tell everybody on my way there, sure. But what we have this man doing is, look at, let's go back to Mark 1:45. But he went out and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter. Do you see the visual picture going on there? He's not just telling one or two people. He's telling everybody he can find. I mean, he's blazing this message around. Jesus told him to be quiet and go to the priest. What does he do? He is spreading this message of what Jesus did to everyone he could. Insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places. And they came to him from every quarter. Jesus told him not to tell anybody. He told everybody. Think about that. But then just hold that thought for a second. Jesus tells us to tell everybody about him. And who do we tell? this man wasn't supposed to tell anybody. He told everybody. I mean, who do we tell? Because we're supposed to be telling people about Christ. Just thought that was an interesting thought. All right, back to our text. Verse number 15. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. Mark 1:45 says that so many people came and were coming to Jesus that he couldn't even get into the city anymore. So he had to withdraw out of the city and go into the wilderness, go into private desert places, because he was just mobbed by everybody. He couldn't even go out in public anymore because of this story. And that's what leads me to believe that this man, there was a big change in his life. He was healed. He was restored completely. But Jesus told him to be quiet and go see the priest. He tells everybody. And Jesus is basically done ministering in that city for that time, because the crowds, the mobs, just drive him out, and he ends up going into the desert. Verse 16, and he withdrew himself into the wilderness, and he prayed. And we just saw this great story. We just saw this great compassion. We just saw this great power. And we find at the end of this story where Jesus had to get away from the people, and he went into the wilderness, and he prayed. For me, it's so neat to see that even Jesus needed to talk with his Father. Even Jesus took time to talk with the Father. That should be an encouragement for us to talk to God too. And I'm so thankful that we can, that we have that opportunity, that privilege where we can pray to God. And he listens, and he cares, and he hears. I'm so thankful that through Jesus Christ, we can boldly approach the throne of grace. And we see this example where Christ is talking to the Father, and then we're reminded, am I in communication with God like he desires me to be? So as we consider this miracle this morning, as we see this man with leprosy, we can see a clear picture of the compassion and power of Christ. And I asked you at the beginning to remember something where Jesus knew exactly how this man would respond to his command to not tell anybody. He knew exactly. But he was still willing to show his compassion on this man that was rejected by society, that was unclean, that would contaminate people that he came into contact with. Jesus was willing to show his compassion and reach out to him, knowing the man would be disobedient. He still had compassion. He still healed him. And in my mind, I'm just like, wow, what amazing love Jesus has. Jesus has the same care and compassion for us. Because we can look back and say, wow, that's an awesome story. Really cool compassion. But have you thought about that? He loves us and cares about us the same. Jesus has the power to make us clean. The power to forgive us from our sins. He paid our sin debt. He died on that cross. He rose again, offering us the ability to have a relationship, to be in a right standing with God. How has the compassion and power of Christ impacted your life? Now, I just don't want us to look at this story and say, great story, because we talked about Jesus has the same compassion for us. He's still all-powerful God. How has his compassion, his power, affected your life or impacted your life? Has he saved you? Has he forgiven you? Has he healed you from what sin brings us? Has he paid our sin debt? Yes, he has. How has that impacted our life? Because we can look at this man healed with leprosy, and we can say, wow, Jesus did a lot for him, and he still disobeyed Jesus. And we can, you know, shake our finger at him, you're a terrible individual disobeying God like that. But then we look in our own lives, we can see the compassion. We can see Jesus doing for us what no one else could do, hopeless, dead in our trespasses and sins. But Jesus was willing to die on the cross to pay our sin debt, to offer us healing that nothing or no one else could offer. How has that impacted us? How have we responded to him? He died for us. He saved us, knowing exactly how we would treat him. Yeah, he still did it. And he still died for us. Does that thought impact us? You've done so much for me. I want to be sensitive and obedient to your leading. I want to follow you. We see people that fully committed to following Christ. They forsook all and followed him. They recognized who he was and what he had done. Are we willing to recognize who Jesus is and what he has done? Are we willing to walk in obedience and gratitude? How have you responded to Christ? Have you trusted in him? Have you believed him? Have you praised him for all that he is and all that he's done for you? I want us to consider that today. We know of the compassion and the power of Christ, but how is it impacting us? God is so good. He should be adored. He should be praised. And we should be willing to walk in obedience to him and his leading. Let's pray together.